Morning, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Shall we all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning? Remembering one of our saints, Brother Kennedy, who's not with us this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for who you are, your life, O Father, and to give us this opportunity to be here this morning, O Lord. And Lord, we count it such a privilege, O Father, to be under this anointing, this word, O Father, and Lord, how it's changed our lives. Lord, we ask that you would remember this morning Brother Kennedy's family, O Lord Jesus, that godly saint, O Father, and that warrior, O Father. We know that he did not pass in vain, O Lord, and Lord, you have a purpose, Lord Jesus. No matter what we think or believe, O Lord, you have everything under control. And so, Lord Jesus, guide us this morning as we go through the Word of God, O Lord. Let the Spirit guide us and teach us, O Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you can turn your Bibles to the book of Revelations, chapter 1. Revelations, chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Read these scriptures and we'll try to cover some ground here this morning. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. We're going to speak on, by God's grace, the spirit of, the character of Christ. And we'll try to cover, well, we'll see how the Lord leads, but we'll just move forward here. Now, we went through Revelations chapter 1 and kind of covered over through chapter 10. And today, I'd like to speak on a little bit more on as far as the individual virtues for the individual believer and kind of how it relates to the scriptures that we have in Revelations chapter 2 and 3 a little bit. Why don't we just bring up those slides and then we'll see how this goes here. You can bring that up. While he's bringing that up, I'd like to read something out of the Church Age book here. So in the Church Age book, Brother Branham makes a few comments here that I just want to kind of leave us with. The importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized. Revelation means more to you than perhaps you realize. Now, I'm not talking about this book of Revelation and you. I'm talking about all revelation. It is tremendously important to the church. Do you remember in Matthew 16 where Jesus asked the disciples this question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So I'm going to hold there for a second. So he says this, to a true believer, revelation can never be overemphasized. So revelation is very, very important. Why is revelation important? Because it is the opening and unveiling of Christ and the meaning of Christ to us. And I believe that we've heard the term revelation, and some people understand it, some people do not. And I believe that the people that understand it is because those who have experienced it. But if you have not experienced it, it's something that's difficult to grasp. But revelation is something where God speaks directly to your heart and opens up a truth to you. And it is something that is very powerful, and it's something that nobody can refuse or persuade you away from it. And so when we look at the scriptures and the message, we have to, I just want to just lay this down a little bit, but revelation is so important because you can, there's a form of godliness. And you can take the scriptures and the message and produce a form of godliness, a godliness that looks like godliness. Whether it's the outside, the way you dress, the way you talk, and the way that you look, and you know the way you worship, and things like that. And so, it can look, you can look like a true believer, but inside there's a difference. And so you have to have something that opens up to you, a revelation that opens and sparks what the actual truth of things are. So you can take, for instance, Cain and Abel. They did exactly the same thing. Everything was exactly the same. There was only one difference. One understood that it was by blood that we receive or get back into the fellowship with God. But everything else was the same. The church form, I'm just going to bring it to the language of today, that they came to church just like here. They sat in the sanctuary just like you. They read their Bible. They prayed. They went to every service that they were supposed to. They prayed in the morning. You see what I'm saying? They sacrificed themselves towards what they knew to be the Word of God. But yet there was a difference. There was an opening that Abel received, that it was by the blood that we enter back in. And Cain thought it was by good looks and beautiful things and fruit. And so, you look at the denominational world, they believe that it's still fruit that took them out of the Garden of Eden. But Brother Branham, by revelation, knew it was by the blood. It was, you know what I'm talking about, blood. There was blood that happened that was spilt in the Garden of Eden, and therefore blood brought them out. It was blood that would take them back in. And so it only was given by grace, by revelation. And so when we are moving forward in this Christian walk, it does not matter how much we know about the Word of God and the message of the hour. We've got to have a supernatural revelation of God. Because that was a difference between Jesus and the Pharisees, because they had the same word and they professed the same word, the same prophet and everything. But the difference was Jesus could see something they could not see. And so he could say that and give grace to the woman that was caught into the adultery, the woman at the well, different ones that needed grace. He could see that grace, the revelation of grace and mercy, whereas they could not. And so he says, if you, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase a little bit here, but he says, if you don't have revelation, then you must pray for it. He says, it can never be overemphasized. And he says here, this was what the church was built on. And he says, if you have revelation, then the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Now, I'm going to speak on something here because, you see, Brother Branham, through the opening of the revelation, was trying to show us something. There were two distinct spirits that were operating within the framework of the church. And so, only by revelation are you able to identify what those spirits are. If you don't have revelation, if you don't have the Spirit of God, then you will not be able to identify those, and you will be deceived, and then you will be overcome. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Everybody, I know that, we just want to open ourselves to the Lord and the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
And it's a solemn time, and the Lord is in control. Amen.
Amen.
And so Let me continue on, brothers and sisters. He says here, now remember, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts, but the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. So you see that this spirit that comes in, and we've got to be able to identify the spirit. And so there's a way to identify it. First of all, you know what the true spirit is and the identification of the true spirit. And there's characteristics of that true spirit. And by that, then you can know what a counterfeit is. But also through the teaching of the Holy Ghost, He gives us the ability through the characteristics of the teaching to identify also that Antichrist spirit. So he says here, he says, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts, but the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. So it's going to do whatever it takes to peel back all the power, all the joy, all the different things, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, all those different things. It's kind of try to strip all that to make it just a form. It exposes Satan revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word, right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. Amen. But we will prevail over them. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to just drop this here because I'll just say this. I know that this is a time that is very difficult, and our spirits are down right now. And I will say this: if we can just kind of focus on the Lord this morning, because remember that I cannot do anything here by myself. When I say that, I have studied and I have prayed and different things, but you see, this is a body move. So it's not just the minister, as Brother Branham teaches in the Revelations. He says it is the body of Christ. So it's the ministry and the congregation working together. And then the Spirit of God begins to move and begins to operate and open up the Word of God, right? So I yield myself. I do what I can to yield myself, and so I can understand what God is trying to say, and then let the Spirit of God flow through. But it takes the people to also begin to pull on the Spirit of God. They have to be open to that channel, and as they begin to pull, and that's by faith that you're pulling on the Spirit of God. And then as you begin to pull, then God begins to open the thing up. But you see, if there's a blockage somewhere, whether it's the individual or over here, then the Spirit of God cannot move freely. And then the revelation cannot open up. You see what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? You see, he was trying to get at that in the revelation because in there a spirit was moving to separate the ministry from the congregation, saying that all of the power was in the ministry. But actually, it's a whole thing. I'm your brother. Brother Mike's your brother. The ministry, they're all your brothers. No matter how powerful you see the Word of God moving in an individual's life and expressing itself, it's because of the congregation that's pulling on that gift. Do you understand? And bringing that power out. But you see, it's one spirit because you see that there is a gift. God has gifted men. God has gifted the body of Christ. You know, Brother Mike has a gift. He has a pastoral gift. And he has other gifts that is in him that he is born with. You understand what I'm saying? But you yourselves, you are born with a gift. And so, you know, whatever that may be, if it is music, if it is an understanding, is it a discernment? It is a heart to help others. Or is it a gift of tongues or interpretation of tongues, a gift of prophecy? But each one of you are born with that type of a gift. You understand? And so God wants to bring that thing to manifestation. So you are an attribute of God. You saw that the mind of God, that there were many different attributes in there. There was an attribute that to be a healer, a father, a savior, all these different things, many different attributes. Those attributes are in you. And God wants to bring those things out, right? And so God's got a way to bring those things so that you come to full maturity. And so, you know, this is a gift that's operating here from the platform, but there's also a gift that's operating in the congregation. But you see, they're not operating because we have to realize and understand and know and get a revelation of who we are. Amen. When we begin to get a revelation of who we are, then God begins to operate that gift that's within inside of you. And He begins to use it to edify the body of Christ. Amen. And so we have got to be able to yield ourselves to that. Now that brings me over to this, I'm going to hit this just very quickly, because types and shadows are all over the Bible because they're all pointing to Christ. There's nothing written in the scriptures in the Bible that is not pointing to Christ, but we've got to have a spiritual eye to be able to see what's written in the pages and open up and let the Holy Ghost open up those things. Because it is, as the prophet said, everything dovetails from Genesis to Revelations. And so when you see something, a verse in the scriptures, there is Christ in the scriptures. Every line, every verse in there speaks of Christ. Amen. And so when we look at this tabernacle, you see that it's just an Old Testament form. No, it's not. And so you see that there is Christ portrayed in this. And you can see actually yourself portrayed in here, if you let your eyes open spiritually. And so when we see that there is an outer court, there is an entrance here, and you can turn that light down just for a second, and there's an altar, there's a laver, there's a tabernacle here, and there's a front part of the tabernacle, and then there's a holiest of holies. And so you can see that you come from the east, and you're heading west always. And so when you're going through, you go through the altar, the priest had to, and go through, there was a menorah, there was a candlesticks, there was a showbread, there was an altar of incense, there was the very ark itself. And so inside the ark, there was the tablets, the Ten Commandments, there was a manna that never staled, there was Aaron's rod that budded, and in there, the Aaron's rod budded because there was life, and in there was Christ that dwelt between the cherubims. Next, I want you to move to the next one because I'm going to get to hear something. And so you can see a little bit more detail. And this is the emphasis, if we may, to get into. This is the area that the teaching is going to cover mostly, because this is the area that many of us are in right here. And so you see there's a magnification of all those different artifacts. And then only the high priest could go in here. And this is the very presence of God. This is a reflection of Christ, but in here dwelt the very fullness of the measure of Christ in here. Now, next slide, if you can move it. So I want to speak on this a little bit, because when you read the message of the hour, listen to the message, you look at the scriptures, and the devil wants you to isolate and compartmentalize everything that you see in the scriptures and say, separate this from that. But you see, God wants to connect them all together, because it if you have a puzzle and you separate all the pieces together, you cannot see the picture. But when you bring the pieces together, and you see the connections between the pieces, then you begin to see the image of Christ. Do you understand? And so it's got to all form and tie together. Now, when we look at this, this is the walk of the believer. When you look at the tabernacle itself, it is the walk of the believer from the beginning to the time that they come to full maturity. Do we want to come to full maturity?
Yeah.
Because you cannot stay at justification. You cannot stay at sanctification. You cannot stay even at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You must move on to perfection, as the scripture says. You cannot go in the rapture unless you come into perfection. And that perfection is God leading you by the Holy Ghost to perfection. It is not you doing it, but it's Christ leading you. But you see, Christ is leading, you have to follow. That's the part you have to play. So Christ will not push you. It doesn't say, I will push you into perfection, but I will lead you into perfection. Amen. You see, the Holy Ghost was always leading the people of Israel. That pillar of fire was leading the people of Israel. When that pillar of fire moved, the people of Israel got their things up and they moved out. No matter how difficult it was, they had to pack everything. You know how hard it is to move. They packed everything, whatever it was. It was a hard effort. It was stressful. They had lots of kids. You know how moving with little kids is, but they did it. As soon as that pillar of fire moved, then they moved out. But you see one thing. Did it say that the people of Israel always could see that pillar of fire? I don't know if it necessarily says that, but we know the prophet always saw that pillar of fire. And so when the prophet saw that pillar of fire move, he told the people of Israel, let's move out. And so they began to move. And as long as they followed that pillar of fire, they were in the will of God, right? And the scripture says they walk in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins, right? So in order for us to be under the blood, we must be walking by the leadership of the pillar of fire. So as the pillar of fire moves, we've got to move with it. When we step out of that, then we're out from under the blood. Do you understand what I'm saying? Brother Bram says that there are many people that think they're under the blood, but they're not actually under the blood. Even the denominations think that they're actually under the blood when they're not. There are many message believers that believe they're under the blood, but they're not. Do you understand? We have got to move where the light is moving. And so if you say that I believe Brother Branham and, you know, I believe the message of the hour and don't obey him the way he's leading, you're out from under the blood. Do you understand? Because sometimes God is leading you into a certain direction to move here, to come under this ministry. You refuse that, you come out from under that blood, under that light. Do you understand? And so that pillar of fire is leading as long as we're following. And so now when we see here, I'm going to show you a little bit about the walk. So we come from the east and we go to the west. And you see, as I mentioned before, the last Sunday school lesson, you see that there is God operating in the bride worldwide. But then there's the God operating in a local congregation. And then there's God operating in you as an individual. Amen. Right? But you see, they're all very much tied together. Because as you can look and see, this path is a path that God has moved the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it started in the east, and then it moved all the way to the very west that it could, which was the United States. So the gospel moved, you know, as Paul was preaching it, and moved all the way through Europe, and then it went through Luther and Wesley all through Europe, and then eventually it came to the United States, which was the last church age, and that's where the last messenger came from, was the United States. It shall be light in the evening time. Where does the evening light come from? Out from the west. Why did Brother Branham have to go to Arizona? Because the scriptures must be fulfilled. And so when we are approaching Christ, we've got to head to the west. And so when we come in, the Bible talks about the waters of separation, because when you hear the word of God, and the revelation strikes your heart, then that word of God begins to separate you from the world. And so then when you step and you accept that, then you're stepping in to the courtyard, to the fellowship. Do you understand? And so that word begins to separate, and then you accept it and you come in. And so I'm going to flip through this, and bear with me because this is not all-encompassing. And I just had a few more thoughts as I was driving in. So there's more things that can be added here, but I just throw these in here just to give you some things to study and go back and let it solidify in your hearts, because you hear things in the service. You hear things in the message of the hour, but you see, you've got to study those things. Why did Brother Branham want to make the church age book in the sermons into a book so that you could study it? Why did the messages come in the book form? Because so you could study it. Because you cannot receive enough by just listening. You've got to have diligence. You've got to apply yourself. You've got to press in. And you know, so you say, Brother Tim, well, you know, Brother Bram says, you know, you can study too much and education and all that stuff is not good. And didn't the Pharisees, you know, have a lot of education? Yes. But you see, in the message, the devil's trying to play with my mind right now here. If you look at the stature of the perfect man, how many's read or listened to the stature of a perfect man? Okay, there we know that we need to be listening, digging more into the message of the hour and the scriptures. But he's in the stature of a perfect man, it was faith, virtue. What was the third one? Knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the word. You can't discern what is right and wrong unless you know what the word is saying. Amen. So yes, you must have the spirit, but you must have the word, because it takes the word to be there. The spirit anoints that word and brings the revelation of that word to pass and understanding. Do you understand what I mean? So what did the Bible, in the Bible, Paul instructed Timothy, he says, study to show thyself approved of God. What did the Bereans do in the book of Acts? When they heard the word of God, they went back to the scriptures and to study it, to know that those things were true. Somebody challenges you on something. If you don't know the scriptures, how are you going to defend yourself? Not just defend yourself, but know for yourself how you're not going to fall into that trap. They challenge you and you don't even know the word. And so is that right or is that wrong? Right? That's why we study the Word of God. That's why we pray and read the Bible every day. The prophet told us to do that. So now we're going through, and God's bringing us by grace into these different stages. So when Jesus called the disciples, he said, come follow me. And they began to follow him. Then that was them separating from the world. But then the Word began to sanctify them, right? What sanctifies us right now is the blood of Jesus Christ. And so there had to be an innocent one to be sacrificed so that you and I could be clean. Who was that sacrifice? It was Jesus himself. So there is an altar where there is a sacrifice. But you see, he can't just die there. You've got to identify yourself with that sacrifice. If you look in the scriptures, before they killed the lamb, that sinner had to lay their hand on the lamb while it was being killed to identify itself with that sacrifice. And so, I am a sinner. I am part of this. This is why this lamb is dying. And so, I identify myself as a sinner. I confess my wrongs. I am sorry for my wrongs. And so, I repent in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, when God began, the blood of Jesus Christ begins to cleanse you. And then he begins to remove your bad habits, right? And so when he removes those bad habits, now I'm going to read something here if you don't mind holding here. You see, in Church Order 1958, October 07, he says, we believe in justification by faith. We believe that, Romans 5:1. Then we believe that the blood of Jesus Christ sanctifies this person for the service of the Lord. And thus we believe in sanctification according to Hebrews 13:12. He says, where Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gates. And so the sanctification is cleaning you up. And he talks about how he pulls a container out of the mud. That was when Christ called you. That's when you heard from your theophany that, hey, I'm not a chicken. And then you came up. And so now you stood out. You identified yourself as not a sinner, but you stepped out. And then God began to clean you up and begin to remove all those things that were clinging to you. He says, also, we believe that after the person has been sanctified, the unclean habits has gone from the person. He is a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, we believe then that he is a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so in the message, you must be born again. Brother Branham talks about identifying yourself with a sacrifice. But you see, God has got to accept your sacrifice. So just because you say that I repent of my sins and then you begin to give up smoking, drinking, and whatever other habits, and there's more than those, you have your pet habits if you're not sanctified, whatever they may be, your things that you keep in your when you're alone and nobody else is looking, those things, you know what they are. I don't know what they are. God knows what they are. Maybe the Holy Ghost can reveal those things because the Holy Ghost is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why when the preaching comes forth, sometimes it speaks directly to you. Amen. In your situation. That's right. What you're dealing with or what you're hiding, right? What is that grace and mercy to you? Because if God let you live with that, then you would not be saved. But he's got to accept your sacrifice. So when you've come to a place where you're completely rid of your old habits and different things, then God accepts your sacrifice by the fire of God and consumes the sacrifice. That's why the sacrifice had to be burnt. And so remember, and so I want us to understand clearly about the new birth and the born-again experience. And it ties all together. Because in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham says, the new birth is a revelation, right? So you heard from your theophany and you had something speak to your heart that had to be a revelation. You cannot come to this church and come to this message and think you're going to be saved if you come by just the knowledge that this is good. This is the right way. I like the way that those people live. It's not enough. God's got to speak directly to your heart. Amen. And so when he does that, he begins to pull you in, just like Jesus pulled in the disciples. And then he brings you to the fire of God, right? But you see this born-again experience. What is birth? It is water, blood, and spirit. He brings you through the waters of separation. Then he brings you through the blood. Then he brings you through the Spirit of God. Then you move in to the holy place. And this is where we're, by God's grace, going to focus, because after you receive the Holy Ghost, now you're a born-again child of God. Amen. Born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. So now you are a born-again son of God, but you are just a baby. You must go through child training. But you see, after the baptism, then the gifts are allowed to start operating and developing within you. You try to operate those gifts without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're going to mess everything up. Because it takes the giver to operate the gifts. And so you begin to develop those gifts, and you see how God, you know, you can look at somebody that's, you know, maybe in the ministry, you know, they start out as a young minister and God's called them, and you know that God's called them, and you see the identification of the Spirit of God and the move of God in that person's life, but yet they're just a young minister, right? And God begins to develop that gift on that minister through different experiences, gets them to be more in the Word of God, begins to put a desire, a hunger, right? And begins to go Make them go through different tests and trials and different things. You can look at Brother Branham's life and how he progressed from when he was a young Christian to, you know, then when God called him into the ministry and how God began to develop that gift. Do you understand? And so 1946, 1947, that gift was operating much differently than what it was in 1965. And so you've got to let the Holy Ghost move and to begin to shape, and you've got to yield yourself to that. You understand? So why did Brother Branham, in the message of the hour, why did he keep talking about the gifts and how to operate the gifts? Because you go like, well, I don't see gifts of, you know, tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy. I don't see that in the church. Why does he keep talking about it, right? But you see, he was talking about it for a purpose. And so some of us just kind of discount those things, but actually there's a very big, deep truth that lying right in there, right? But you see, it goes over the top of our heads sometimes if we're not looking. You see, when he was talking about those things, he's talking about how to train a child. Because you can see that, you know, when the church began to have these gifts, especially in the tabernacle, how he began to talk to them how to operate that gift. He says, you know, do it this way, don't do it that way, and different things. And he says, you know, he talked about the woman that had a gift of speaking in tongues, and she would interrupt the service, right? And she did it once, twice, and he was being gentle, you know, because the Holy Ghost is gentle. But he was being easy. But then the Holy Ghost moved him, and he said, when she did it the next, because he would tell her gently, he said, you know, not to do that. The scripture talks about only the Spirit of God operates through one ministry at a time. So if it's speaking in tongues, it's going to operate that way. But when the man is at the pulpit, he says, when the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophet. And he spoke of the pastor when he's preaching, then all the other gifts are subject to that. Amen. And so that's operating, so you don't interrupt that, you know. And so The woman was warned several times, and she did not listen. And then he said, sit down, right? And so she sat down. But you see, there was something in her that was, she was a child, if you understand. Children, they think of themselves only many times. And so, yes, it feels good to have the Spirit of God come on you, and you can speak in tongues. But he says, if there, you know, here's the Word of God, how to operate it. And also, there must be an interpreter. And so if those are not there, if we're not meeting those, then be quiet. Amen. So that takes discipline. You've got to be quiet, just like a little child. They want to move around. They want to stand up. They want to do all these things, but they've got to be obedient, right? Amen. And so if you talk to them gently, they don't listen. You talk to them gently again, they don't listen. You're trying to be nice and in love. And so you know for sure now, if they do it again, that they know. And so now it's time for discipline. And why do you do it? Because you're trying to shape that individual into the image of Christ. They need to learn obedience because you're training them for their calling when they get older. If they don't learn it now, then they're going to have difficulty when they go through it later. And so all these different things, he's trying to teach them about obedience to the Word, how to be patient, how to not think of themselves but think of others in the situation. You see, when we look about it, we're trying to be overcomers, right? This is where the overcoming power is. When we are one with Christ and we're hidden in Christ. And so in order to be an overcomer, we've got to be taught. We've got to sit down and listen. No matter what you think, what I think about the situation, we've got to see what God thinks. Amen. Everybody can say amen to that, right? But when the situation comes, when the rubber meets the road, are we really obeying the word of the Lord? So here's the situation. God calls us to move from this place to that place. And we have to lower our income. And we have to live in a smaller house, right? And we have to go to this smaller church, maybe. And then, you know, you're praying and the flesh is saying, like, I like where I'm at. But God's calling you that way. So what are we going to do? Are we going to be obedient or are we going to do what we want to do, right? I'm going to church. I'm fine. This is a good ministry here. You know, everything is good over here. You know, I have just as much over here or more. There's more gifts over here. There's more fellowship and different things. See, now you're reasoning. Now you're getting away from the true will of God. You see, the child of God is the most important thing in their life is to follow the will of God, no matter how much it cuts and hurts. You know, Brother Branham was, he had people in his congregation. He didn't want to bring that message, marriage and divorce, because he knew there were people that were honest-hearted in there. When they heard that message, that they, in order to follow the will of God, they would break up their marriage. Do you understand? And so, but he had the Spirit of God in him. He did not. It was hard for him to bring it. He had the revelation maybe in 1963, but it wasn't until 1965 he brought it, because he was so concerned about the people. He didn't want to destroy families. And so he waited on the Lord to open that up, the revelation of it, by grace. And just like God gave that first church age messenger the authority to say something that seemed contrary to the Word of God. Amen. But you see, grace always overrides law. Amen. The law bound you so you could not be free, but grace set you free.
Amen.
Why did God allow Boaz to marry Ruth? The Moabites were restricted from being married to the Israelites. There was a law against that. And you saw how the congregation had to be separated from those Moabites in the book of Nehemiah or Ezra, if you remember. But why did God allow Ruth and Boaz to be married? It was grace, the Spirit of grace. That's why we have to have revelation, brothers and sisters. If they went strictly by the law, they would not be able to see that. But by God's grace, and God used that marriage to bring forth Christ. Amen. So we've got to learn. One more thing I'm going to drop in here, and we're just going to continue on here, because when we're going to take the stature of a perfect man, we're going to take all these messages, because in here are identified the spirits of the Antichrist and the Spirit of God. And so if you get the Spirit of God and allow it to develop in you, it will give you vision. It will give you the ability to control yourself. It will put power in your life to overcome the enemy. He will give you revelation and knowledge so that you can speak to that devil when he tries to deceive you and know what he's up to. He will put godliness in your life, build patience in your life. He will put love in your life, that you can love one another no matter how bad you're treated. And then he'll all those things will be poured in you, and then he'll seal you.
That's right.
As a union. But before that, he's got to shake all these things and see if you're ready. Right? He says a link or chain link is only as strong as its weakest one. So you may have faith, you may have virtue and all these different things, but if you can't control your temper, you cannot get there. You've got to come under that. It's got to come under subjection. You've got to come under obedience. When you come under obedience, full obedience to the whole Word of God entitles you to the token.
Amen. That's right.
The true baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm getting the hand signal for time. I'll say this. When Jesus was in the wilderness, tempted three times, you see, he had a gift. He had power. But he was tempted to use that gift in the wrong way. He could have done all those things. You see, Moses was tempted to use that gift in the wrong way, and he did. He slapped the rock. And for that disobedience, God did not let him go in the promised land. But you see, he had the power to change those stones and make them to bread because he was hungry. He could have justified and said, I've been fasting 40 days. I'm hungry. Lord, can I just have this? Right? The devil was tempting in that. Use your power for yourself. See, that's what, you have a gift. Maybe it's a music gift. Is God, or is the devil tempting to use that gift for yourself? Look at me. Right? Self-glorification. The next one was, jump off the building. We know that. And show you have power. And so some, you have a gift. You have power. Remember, the saints of God will reign on this earth. But God's got to bring your character in a way that you can handle that power. And he's training you right now with the gift that you have. So that gift that you have, are you going to show off with that gift? You have it. It's operating. You know that God's using it. You have a singing gift or whatever, a music gift or something like that. And are you going to use it to show off? Right? The last one was, he was granted all power and different things and all that. And then so he said, you can have all this. Just bow down and worship me. Brother Branham says that he was tempted to get all that without the cross, right? What is the cross? The cross is a trials. The trials, the tests, the sacrifice, the difficulties and different things. Christ had to lay down his life. Right? Are we willing to lay down everything, our life, for Christ? Let's stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much. Lord, I believe we're in the closing days, oh Father. Lord, the urgency is greater, oh Father. Lord, as I was praying this morning, oh Father, Brother Kennedy just comes so very powerful in my heart, oh Lord Jesus, how God used that man, oh Father. I believe he reached that maturity, oh Lord. That's why you took him off the scene, dear Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, that great warrior. Oh, Father, I feel like an arm has left or a leg has left, oh, Lord Jesus. But you know all things, oh, Father. You're in control, dear Lord Jesus. We don't understand, oh, Father, these things, oh, Lord, that cause us heartache and difficulty. Trials that we face. One thing we know, Lord, you have our good in mind, oh Father. Yes. You know the end from the beginning. Lord, help us, oh Lord Jesus. Open our eyes and ears, oh Lord, what you're trying to tell us. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.